If you haven't signed up yet, right now you can get 12 free meals. That's 12 free meals just for using our link. Go to HelloFresh.com/invest12 and use the code INVEST12. And good morning, everybody. Welcome into the show. Yes, I've got a teddy bear here on the desk. This is Grover's because if he squeaks it during the show, then it's going to be super annoying during the whole show. So good morning, everybody. Welcome into the show. Grover is doing much better now, my one-year-old mini pincher who, yes, got into some poisonous plants. So thank you for all of your kind wishes on this. It was kind of a harrowing few days waiting to see if his, you know, did he have liver failure? We had to take him to the vet yesterday. So he is resting nicely on my pit snuggie and just relaxing over there. So he's doing good. Philip is in today in the control booth. David is out. So what's David doing right now? He's got a dog that he has to, I guess they fostered it and they're giving it up now. Is that the deal?
Yeah. So he has somebody showing up today to, I don't know if they're, cause the dog has special needs as some kind of a blood disorder. So
anemic?
Somebody's coming by too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was right. It was anemic. So yep, some people are coming to look at it. So they've had it for about a month or so. It's a gorgeous dog. I kind of wanted it, but not right now.
I know, that's the thing. It's like you get too attached to these, you know, and he wanted it too, but he's like, no, I can't take the size of this dog. It's just it's just too big.
Yeah, my girlfriend had to, like, you know, she's like, just keep your focus on the goats, because I was like, man, I want this dog. She's like, but you want goats. I was like, I know, but I want this dog too. So
you have yard? You have enough yard for goats? I know.
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
But my next move is going to be goat friendly, because I am getting some pygmy goats.
Wow. Now, I know California, you know, in order to combat all of the, like, the, you know, the issues with, I don't know, grass, they're putting goats everywhere in order to eat all the grass in California. Is that what's going on?
It sounds like a good world to me. I mean, put goats everywhere. They're funny. My grandparents used to have a small horse farm. And they had several goats, and they were just—they're just like the most adorable idiots on the planet. And I love them.
Oh, brother! Well, we got some news to get to this morning. We're going to get to the markets in a moment, but we got to talk first about this our top story this morning, which is this meat hack. Which you know, I'm curious how many in our audience this morning. Let me know if you're new here. Drop a comment and welcome into the show. But man, right now, and I don't know if you've seen this, but this meat hack, of course, of this JBS plant and their distribution centers and everything has just wiped out about 1/5 of the capacity right now. And the question, we just still don't know if they've paid a ransom for this thing, and whether or not, like, just like the Colonial Pipeline, whether or not they're going to have to, they forked over money based on this hack. But you realize how fragile some of this infrastructure is in the United States, especially when you have a hack involved, and suddenly, and we're already facing meat shortages and meat prices as it is. And now you take offline about 1/5 of all meat in the United States, and, you know, almost a quarter of its beef processing capacity, or the equivalent of 20,000 beef cows taken offline, because the second largest producer of beef, pork, and chicken in the United States, you know, shut down for even one day. They say now, this morning, JBS says they're trying to get these plants back online, and they should be back to regular capacity by the weekend. But this is not good. We've already had people in our chat saying, like, they've seen the price of just the meat before this hack going up significantly, just for the price of a thing of ground beef going up tremendously. And this is where it hits us hard, right? This is where it hits us hard for people. It's not the millionaires that suffer. It ends up being the family. You see it on your table. You see it on your kitchen table. The price of things is, you know, it hits American families the hardest. And Philip, have you even noticed this? Have you seen, I mean, I don't know if you're like vegetarian or not. If you are, then forget about it. But
I'm not a vegetarian. No, I definitely have seen the prices go up. Like I said, I think it was a couple weeks ago when I was on, I was talking about how, like, just general grocery shopping, like, I still spend about the same amount because I'm a budget person, but the what I'm getting for that same amount is definitely decreasing. And so we definitely do meat. Like, I ascribe to more of a Mediterranean diet, they call it, where it's like, you know, meat like 2-3 times a week.
Meat light, vegetables. We try to do that as well, not going too crazy with it, but just, you know, here and there, but yeah, these consumer prices really getting crushed right now. And you know, this is where we're seeing it here. There's another big story that I'm following, which is where this inflation is coming. So a lot of big investors on Wall Street now concerned about these inflation numbers, and it's starting to really heat up. And we're seeing, I'm going to tell you where we're seeing it, but specifically where it's hitting your wallet. But right now, Wall Street is really getting concerned about that this surge is going to change 30 years of market behavior as the economic policies right now are aiming to create inflation are the opposite of the ones that kept markets relatively stable for decades. And the concern, of course, is that, you know, how long is the Fed going to let this inflation number run hot? Are they going to be well-balanced and controlled? Yesterday, I was on Paul Barron's show on the Tech Path, and we had a great discussion about inflation and where do we see the Fed moving. I encourage you to go check that interview out. But you know, they've done a really good job. The Fed has. Now, you love them or hate them. Right now, they really haven't made a mistake during this pandemic. I mean, you could argue that, hey, well, they're buying up $130 billion of junk bonds. Is that good? Well, you know, I guess we'll let history determine that. But right now, the economy has roared back as a result of what they've been doing, propping up Wall Street and helping big business. Now, are the little guys getting helped? We know what the story is there, of course. They're not getting helped. But do we expect them to screw up now? Like, they've done a really good job, the Fed has. So now do we suddenly expect them to screw things up by not moving quickly enough on inflation or letting it drag on too long? And then the American family is going to be caught, you know, holding the bag. And that price of the dollar, again, if you've got a U.S. dollar bank account, this is where you're going to feel it. Because, okay, you put $100 into that bank, you're like, yeah, I'm making some savings. No, you're not, first of all, because your savings account, if you've got a Wells Fargo savings account or any of those crappy savings accounts, you know, you're getting a 0.01% return. That is below inflation. So every day that you've got money in one of those crappy bank accounts, you're losing money. So at very least, like, think about converting some of that money to like stable coins. You know, that's why I'm so bullish on cryptocurrency. I mean, imagine moving just some of that money where you're not actually buying crypto in a way. You're not trading the market. You're just putting your money in stable coins, just moving it into stability so that it remains in a place where you're getting a great return. I mean, you could even do that on Coinbase, you know, or BlockFi or Outlet Finance or any of those where, look, you're not trading the market, you're not doing day trading, you're not looking at charts like I'm doing if you're really nervous about it, but where you could get a 9-10% return on your investment. I mean, Outlet Finance, they're not sponsoring the show. I have a savings account with them. And I love those guys. And as an example, you know, having your money outside of the US dollar system and putting it into an area where it's backed by their own insurance, do your own research on it. There's certain states they're not available. But as an example, let me show you their website. If you go to morninginvest.com/outlet, they'll actually give you some free money. But they offer 9% return on every dollar you put in their account. Okay. You can deposit, withdraw at any time. And it's a savings account that's backed by cryptocurrency. And I have a savings account with them. I think they do a great job. You can track your APR. You can see your interest being earned every month as the deposits come in. But again, if you've got your money just sitting in a U.S. bank account, you're losing money every day that it's in there. And if this is news to some of you, remember that with certainty, every month, your money is worth less and less and less, the U.S. dollar. And eventually, it's going to collapse. And even if we try to move to a digital currency in the United States, they're going to still be able to print as much as they want because it's centralized currency. So just look at what's happening in Venezuela, for instance. This is an amazing story. And we're getting some news out of Venezuela on, you know, look, their currency has basically collapsed, right? And we know that Venezuela has the world, right today, has the third highest Bitcoin adoption in the world, as people there are increasingly using it to mitigate the country's economic stability. Look at this. Here's the amount of Venezuelan currency needed to buy this single pastry throughout the last year. Have you ever paid this much for a pastry? So this is the Bolivar, which the government's currency has collapsed, and they're turning to Bitcoin as a store of value. Third highest use rate now. And this is what happens. When a government's currency collapses, where are we going to go? Are we going to turn to, like, you know, I don't know about you, Philip, but maybe goats, right? But, or yeah. Like, you know, like bartering for furs. Like we're like a trapper.
And like the thing is, like that stack of money right there looks like the paper that those bills are printed on looks to be more expensive than the bill itself is worth.
Right. Well, and that's certainly the case with coins. You know, we know that even printing the U.S. penny loses money when you print the U.S. penny. Like, how is that sustainable?
So I mean, it's not. But I mean, the only reason that's sustainable is because if you can just like artificially inflate the amount that's there, you know what I mean? Like they don't have to print as many coins as exist.
Right.
I guarantee you there aren't enough pennies out there. They're not like 4 trillion pennies out there that, you know, like are $4 trillion dollars worth of pennies. So it's all digital. They just pretend, I guess.
Yeah. It's monopoly money. You know, it's fake money. I mean, look, that pastry looks delicious. I do not know that I would pay a million bolivars for it. So now the country moving towards, and according to this new report out this morning, the Chain Analysis Report, 2020 Geography of Cryptocurrency Report, shows that, you know, looking at the on-chain cryptocurrency activity by region, their inter-regional trading patterns, how economic instability is driving cryptocurrency adoption in the developing world, and the state of regulation by regency, cryptocurrency usage in high-risk jurisdictions, trend in crypto crime by regions, and much more. Venezuela is now third on that list of adoption. You know, and all it took was their currency to collapse. And you're seeing this happening now in other Central American countries as well. You know why? Because we can't trust government currency as a store of value. And when, as all government currencies do, they collapse. Every fiat currency in world history has collapsed, and there's no reason to believe that the dollar is safe from that, especially when we're $23 trillion in debt and printing $6 trillion more with a $1.8 trillion per year deficit that we're going to run on top of that because of this new printing. So, you know, again, we're seeing worldwide adoption now, and we're seeing it in big, big ways across the world. And I got to say, it's pretty exciting. But one way we are seeing, you know, this inflation hitting our wallets is in smaller packaging in the United States. So many of you probably have noticed, like if you've gone to the store, and I'd be curious if we have anybody that says that here. Are we able to get the chat up here? This Restream has been having problems. I can't even, I don't know about putting it on the screen, but just even putting up.
Yep, there we go.
There we go. Okay. It's not showing for me. It's weird. It's like getting a little, anyway. I'm curious, let me know here in the chat, like how many of you have noticed this form of what they're calling shrinkflation, shrinkflation, where when we talk about inflation, where you're seeing it is in a growing range of household staples that don't show up on your receipts, right? So you're paying the same amount for your bag of dinner rolls, but you're just getting fewer of them. You're getting lighter bags of chips. That I can tell. You know, I'm a big chip eater. I love chips. So something's a little fishy here. You know, you start to feel like, oh, are there fewer Pringles in this can? Like, what's going on here? So
well, this is based on the one less pickle. Are you familiar with that story? Like the guy that innovated the pickle factory that made a million just by putting one less pickle in the jar. Right. You know, and it's like once that works, you know, it's all downhill. Then it's like, well, what if we put two fewer pickles? You know, why, from the business perspective, I mean, why wouldn't they be doing that?
Exactly. Well, it's like the airline story, right? Like putting, was it like just eliminating the bag of nuts saved them just millions a year. So they're not giving out the almonds anymore, the peanuts on the plane. Just eliminating those few little things, you know?
Yep, you basically have to beg for them.
Yeah, can I have those four peanuts in that little bag, please?
Can I have some more, please?
Kristen Swenson says, once the chips are out of the bag. That's right. Well, here's the thing. Once the chips are out of the bag for me, like I just don't stop, you know? My mom bought me, cause I love those Snyder's of Hanover's, pretzel bites. Now they've got the little smaller packages, but I love, they have like the jalapeno pretzel bites. They have the cheese ones, the honey mustard ones. And so I tore through those last night. But yeah, once chips are out, man, I'm going to finish the bag. You know, I can't handle it. But so lighter bags, smaller cans, and I love what they say too, which is this new ergonomic design, right? It's got a new like clutchable bottle, right? Like it's got a curve in the center and they're like, you know, this is, it makes it easier to hold. No, what you did was you just shaved off a whole bunch of volume out of it. So now it's, yeah, it's easier to hold. That's the marketing. It's now less volume by 20% because we can't, you know, we're going to pay the same amount, but we're just going to give you less water, less Gatorade or whatever it is. Smaller cans.
That's why you definitely pay attention to the weight on the bag or the volume on the container, because when you see that going down, you know what they did.
Yeah.
Because they have to put that on there. So,
and that's a great point. I mean, and according to this piece, most people, as Edward Dorosky says, a consumer advocate and a former attorney general in Massachusetts, he says, a former assistant to the attorney general, he says, consumers check the price every time they buy, but they don't check the weight. When the price of raw materials like coffee beans or paper pulp goes up, manufacturers are faced with a choice. Do we raise the price, knowing consumers will see it and grumble about it, or we give them a little bit less and accomplish the same thing? Often, it's easier to do the latter. So chances are you've probably already noticed this at the store, but if you're not, pay attention. You're paying the same amount now for less. The U.S. dollar is going, is not going as far as it was yesterday, and companies now are charging you the same amount and you're receiving less. This is inflation, and it's happening. So what is the Fed going to do about it? Where do we put our money? We put it in stores of value. We put it in real estate. We put it in crypto. We put it in places that empower us, that give us access in a way that we don't get from the U.S. government and fiat currency. We put it into precious metals. You know, we put it in places like commodities that are outside of this system. And look, you know, we're already seeing huge moves in gold. I mean, let's look at gold prices this morning. Load this. Gold up again. So it's all green. Silver and gold. Silver and gold. As it continues its march to $2,000 an ounce and beyond. Let's look at Bitcoin this morning. Bitcoin up as well. Green. 37,000. Ethereum up also this morning. We're going to get into some charts here in a few moments. I'm going to show you my top picks as we head into the weekend here over the next few days, what I'm seeing with a lot of upside. And Doge, look at Doge, up big. So we'll talk about Doge and some of the big news around that. We'll get to all of those charts, and we've got a lot more news to get to on Elon Musk, Tesla, and AMC we're going to get to, and we're going to dive deep into some of this Dogecoin news as well. But first, I'm going to tell you about a new sponsor here on the show. Super excited about these guys, Liquid IV. Now, I love the inspiration for this. The founder of the company saw people trying to, you know, to rehydrate after sporting events or doing a weightlifting or after a long night out. They're using Pedialyte, you know, like Pedialyte for kids, basically, to rehydrate. So there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a natural way to do it, and there's got to be a better, more effective way to do it. And that's the birth of Liquid IV. So when you push your body hard or just feel run down, it's extremely important to stay hydrated. Making hydration a priority makes us feel better on a day-to-day basis. With one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water, you get 2 to 3 times the amount of hydration as plain water. How do you use it? It's super simple. You can use it first thing in the morning before a workout or when you feel run down. Maybe you had a hangover the night before or that day. So you can, it's a hangover, you know, use it as a hangover cure, however you want to do it. I like it for first thing in the morning. I like to drink a big glass of water. And by adding this to the water, it gives me that extra level of hydration first thing in the morning. We're always encouraging our kids, have some water to kick off your day. Like, make that the first thing in your body. And this will 3X it. You know, that's what it does. 2 to 3 times the amount of hydration as plain water. They have great tasting ones as well. Lemon, lime, acai berry, passion fruit, guava, watermelon, apple pie, strawberry. And they've donated over 10 million sticks to people around the world in their give back mission. They're very bullish on this. I love that they've been able to donate to different parts of the world. So now here's what you can do. You can grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use that coupon code INVEST at checkout. Liquidiv.com, use that coupon code INVEST at checkout. That's 25% off your order, and you get better hydration today using promo code INVEST at checkout at liquidiv.com. Remember, it contains 5 essential vitamins with more vitamin C than an orange and as much potassium as a banana. Great for that workout, before your workout or after your workout. So our thanks to Liquid IV. All right, let's talk about Elon Musk. He's gotten some hot water, which is no surprise. You know, all those tweets was only a matter of time before he was going to get his hand smacked by the SEC. And well, it turns out that all of those tweets and just sort of driving markets and going outside of the guidelines. Now, you'll remember Elon Musk a while ago had said that he has no respect for the SEC at all. He thinks they're a bunch of bozos, essentially. Well, here's former SEC chair Jay Clayton, who I like that last name, by the way, who is reacting now to this SEC decision. And we'll tell you more about this SEC decision in a second. But here's Jay Clayton on this latest move by the SEC.
Have apparently told Tesla that it failed to oversee those Elon Musk tweets, violating a court-ordered policy brokered after Tesla and Musk settled a case with the SEC that you oversaw back in 2018. What do you think?
Well, Andra, you know I'm not going to comment on a specific case or settlement, but what we are seeing with social media and these communications is the ability of a very short piece of information, a small piece of the overall mosaic, move markets. And, you know, as just a person who looks at markets, that does concern me because, you know, what makes up a good investment is never just that one piece of a mosaic. And let me just say this, just taking one of those pieces and amplifying it without updating the rest of the picture, you know, that's not something Jay, that we should be encouraging.
But is the SEC being defanged to some degree by social media, by even the courts? I ask because you look at that Elon Musk case, and if you remember, the judge said, effectively, tried to get you guys to settle the case, both sides to settle the case, rather than actually bring, you know, go fully to trial. You haven't seen the SEC actually then go after Elon Musk again based on this new information or these more recent tweets. And I imagine one of the reasons that people aren't bringing these cases is because they're not sure whether they're strong enough.
Yeah, real question there, Andrew, which is like, does the SEC have any balls left? Like when Elon Musk with tweets can literally move entire markets and people lose a lot of money with these, you know, and, you know, do they have any balls to go after these social media accounts? And this is the few, like, I feel like they're so archaic, their laws. What are they looking at? Well, he can just get on Twitter and move an entire market. Heck, you know, and what about politicians? When we saw markets move crazy when President Trump would tweet.
Look, one of the things about regulating markets you have to recognize is that they're not at all static. You know, we're seeing the rise of social media for communications with the investing public. We're seeing the digitization of processes and assets across the board. The SEC has adapted to developments in technology before. I've always said, I have great faith in the women and men of the SEC to do so. You're right. It's, you know, we have to bring forward our principles in the law, and make sure that these new technologies are captured by those principles.
So what do you do? I mean, that's just a lot of, like, to me, that's a lot of political speak. I mean, that to me sounded like a word salad. Like, you know, well, the markets are static. There's a lot of movement, and social media is for you communication, and what?
That's basically like he started that whole thing by saying, you know, I'm not going to talk about an active investigation, which is political speak for this is a complicated question. I'd rather not say anything.
Right. So not anything much to offer because I really don't know how to answer that question. I think his question about being defanged was pretty spot on. I mean, what is the SEC supposed to do? The judge basically said beforehand, like, just settle this thing because I don't think you have any. What can you do here? And I, you know, so the SEC is sitting there basically saying, well, what can we do now? If the judge was basically telling us before, you better just settle this thing, what are we going to do now? And, you know, if Tesla is not overseeing these tweets and approving these tweets ahead of time, you know that they're not. Because, you know, I have alerts set up for Elon Musk tweets. So I get them at like all hours of the day. Like literally, I'm like, what is this tweet at 2 a.m. that I saw? Or what is this one? Does a guy ever sleep? Who on the Tesla board is overseeing his tweets? They're not. It's ridiculous. And how do you prove that they are? Like you know, you're handing it off to someone like, can I send this one, Daddy? Can you read it first before I send it?
Well, it's funny because they he mentioned that, like, you know, things are becoming digitized now and trying to make it like, oh, we don't quite understand this new media. Like, Bitcoin's been around since 2008. You know, like it's not becoming digitized. It was like, you know, it reminds me of so when I was in college in like, oh gosh, it was like 2004, I think I was taking a sociology class on sociology and the media. And they were like, the internet's such a crazy thing. I was like, the internet's been around for 10 years. Like, it's not this big new thing anymore, you know? So, I mean, the same thing with all this digitization. Like, yeah, it's been around long enough. Maneuver. You'll figure it out.
Right. Well, we know that we know that the SEC has had very limited staff to begin with. I mean, how many times, we know, if you want to go back and look at Bernie Madoff, how many times the SEC was warned and red flagged and given the keys to the kingdom at the SEC and they did nothing about it? Like, the SEC was handed this evidence about Bernie Madoff. Meh. And they looked the other way. They just, yeah, they didn't even do anything about it.
Well, they're so like, they're one of those like oversight, like, organizations that only does something when they absolutely have to. Like, they drag their, it's like a teenager. They're just like, I don't wanna, you know, but they, so it's like, I don't know. It's like,
well, we've seen that with the IRS, right? Like, you're exactly right. Like, rather than take all of the resources it takes to go after billionaires and all of the amount of work and paperwork and investigation that goes into these billionaires, they rather would do the little guy, go after the little guy. Disproportionate number of these audits from the IRS come from people that make almost no money. And they're literally getting audited over things like $5 on their tax returns. Well, wouldn't the audit power, which could actually bring in billions of dollars in tax cheats by these billionaires, be better served with your time, attention, and effort? Or is it because you're just too lazy? You'd rather do audits on things that can be handled in about 5 minutes. And so your quota of audits. Like, Jim, how many audits did you have? I had 30. Great. How much money did you bring in as a result of those audits? $30, you know?
Probably negative, because the
right.
that auditor's, like, salary is probably more than what they're actually getting from those audits. Mm-hmm. So it would be almost like a negative, like return on that audit.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So the SEC has been paying attention. They believe Elon Musk has violated his 2018 settlement agreement twice, according to the Wall Street Journal. The agreement requires a lawyer to approve his tweets about the company. Tesla lawyers didn't review Musk's May 2020 tweet about how Tesla stock's price was too high, in my opinion, before he published it. Too high. The company's lawyers also didn't approve a July 19th tweet about Musk's goal to make 1,000 of Tesla's solar roofs per week by the end of that year. The SEC sent letters to Tesla. They sent strongly worded letters after each tweet, but has not taken any apparent enforcement action against Musk or the company. So, okay. What more evidence do you need then? If they didn't approve it, that was part of the settlement agreement. Like, if you or I did that, you know, we'd be handcuffed, or we'd have a lawsuit thrown at us. You're not doing anything.
I don't know about you, but a strongly worded letter goes a long way with me. I cower at such a thing.
I've had a lot of strongly worded letters over the years. When I was young, they really bothered me. Then I got to a point where they made me laugh. Strongly worded letters don't do anything to me.
No. They never worked for me.
Yeah.
Maybe a strongly worded text message can get somewhere, but not likely.
Right. A strongly worded tweet can get us somewhere. So that's Tesla. That's Elon Musk. And, you know, he's facing this. We'll see. Probably nothing. Of course, he famously said back in on 60 Minutes in 2018 that the SEC, he said, you know, he doesn't have any respect for them. And anyway, so I'd love to hear your thoughts on this in the audience. Let me know your thoughts. You know, does the SEC need to do something about this? We see these people losing lots of money in crypto and then making lots of money back and forth. So let me know your thoughts on that. I want to talk about Doge in a second, but I want to tell you about, hey, you know, it's almost Father's Day, and this is pretty awesome. Have you guys heard of Scotch Porter? These guys are fantastic. This is Scotch Porter. You get 50% off their collections right now. They make fantastic hair collection, beard, hair, face for men. Treatments, all fantastic, using kale protein, white willow bark, vitamin and botanical complexes that purify, balance, and restore the most sensitive problematic hair types. You can say hello to healthier hair and scalp. And 50% off right now, 50% off their collections through all of it. You can get their fragrances, and their hair creams are fantastic. Their face creams, you know, most men just use like a soap, like a bar of soap, like that they get like at the hotel or something, you know. And they don't think that, well, maybe I actually should take care of my face. You know, I'm getting a little older, maybe wrinkles, you got some sun damage. That's where these guys come in. They make fantastic beard, hair, face, and body care products. Scotch Porter means business. What I love about their products is they're non-toxic as well. They're healthy, and they really help men with the grooming issues they face daily. So right now, in time for the summer, get 50% off their sale that's happening right now on their best-selling collection. If you go to scotchporter.com/invest, you'll get 50% off their collection today. So all the, even the bearded gents out there, I know David's beard is growing back. Could you believe that? So David shaved off his whole beard. It's coming back. So, you know, who doesn't want like a soft, thick growing beard? And they've got the white willow bark, the biotin, pomegranate enzymes to cleanse, condition, moisturize, and promote growth. So check them out at scotchporter.com and use that coupon code INVEST when you're checking out to get 50% off right now of your order. It's a great, you know, certainly a great gift for Father's Day. And men, you need to step it up a notch. You need to step it up a scotch. It's a bad pun. All right, we're going to look at the markets now, shall we? Try this music again, see if this works here. Yeah, I like that. A little hip-hop for you this morning. Restream has this new feature where we can just add some nice ambiance and with the click of a button. So we'll take requests someday. Anybody here in the chat wants some requests, we'll do it. But let's take a look at Doge this morning, because Doge is making some moves on all of this news. Their Coinbase Pro listing has now set the stage for this Doge price rally. So is Doge heading to $1? Well, you know, it had a price jump about 6.1% in 1 hour when it jumped from that 34 cent range after this Coinbase Pro tweet. Starting today, get out of there, sidebar. Starting today, inbound transfers for Doge are now available in the regions where trading is supported. Traders cannot place orders and no orders will be filled. Trading will begin on or after 9 a.m. Pacific time on Thursday, January 3rd, if liquidity conditions are met. Dogecoin is launching on Coinbase Pro, and it's going to immediately start accepting inbound transfers, and highlighted that if liquidity conditions are met, users could place Doge listings into their professional trading account. So, you know, this is amazing. Doge is now the sixth largest cryptocurrency, according to CoinGecko, a market cap of $47 billion. Think about how much larger Dogecoin is than major companies like Ford. Dogecoin has a higher market cap than some of like the longest standing companies in American history. It's now the sixth largest cryptocurrency by volume. It's not going anywhere. I was on an interview yesterday, like I said, on Paul Barron's show, and we were talking about Doge and these meme coins. And, you know, Elon's going to continue to push it. Companies are now, large institutions are now accepting it. I don't believe it's going anywhere. I mean, let me know in the chat if you think it's going to disappear. But hey, people have spoken. You know, is this a store of value now for people? And look at this, a new car launching. I did a video on this last night. I don't know how many of you saw it, but this is the new Dymock Spiritus, and this is the new car that actually produces Doge. It mines Dogecoin when it's parked and capturing solar energy or on a trickle charge. So an all-electric car that actually mines Dogecoin when it's sitting there. So think about this for a second, right? This car while it's sitting there, you buy this car for $20,000, and you buy the, by the way, you can pay for it in Dogecoin, okay, or Bitcoin or Ethereum. They want to accept cryptocurrency as their primary way. Pre-orders are happening now, and I actually pre-ordered one of these last night. So while it's sitting there, collecting sunlight, it's actually turning into a performing asset. Which, can you ever think of another car that went from becoming a liability the moment you drove it off the parking lot of the car dealership is now a performing asset because it's, while it's sitting there, it's actually earning you money. You don't have to be an Uber driver to turn your car into a performing asset. Isn't that crazy?
That really is crazy, because that's the opposite model of what cars have always been, which right. is like the moment you drive it off the lot, it's worth less. But if it's actually like gaining you an appreciating asset like that, that is interesting.
And it's pretty cool looking too. It's got three wheels. Look at that. It looks like kind of like the Batmobile or the Batpod or the Batpod from the Dark Knight Rises or the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah, I mean, if why it's not navy and just like plastered with bat symbols, I don't know.
It's pretty awesome. So it comes out in 2023. If you pre-order it now, you save $1,000 on their website. Mining Doge while it sits there collecting sunlight. And actually can produce for the grid too, because if it's producing more than enough, it can put money back, in your pocket by creating its own, like you're creating your own like little solar farm, by having this thing parked there. It comes equipped with Nebula Wallet as well. So right in the interface of this car, it's mining and it's putting it right into your Nebula Secure your wallet through Nebula Wallet. And you can go pay for gas with it, or not gas. You can go pay for anything with your Bitcoin wallet or your Nebula wallet right there in the interface of the car. Tolls, in fact, one of the things they wanted to be able to do, so you drive right through a toll and it just knows and it takes it right out of your Nebula wallet. So instead of paying for tolls, every time you're sitting there at work, maybe you work an 8-hour shift and it's sitting out in the parking lot in the sun. Guess what? All the tolls that you paid to drive to work that day, maybe you're totally covered by the amount of Ethereum you've just mined while you were sitting in the office. And now those tolls are essentially free because it's on the, you're paying for it on the blockchain. Crazy, crazy times that we're thinking of here. And once you start thinking in terms of what cryptocurrency and what the blockchain can do, it's sort of mind blowing. And it's empowering for people. I think this is a crazy moment. So what is Bitcoin doing this morning? Or excuse me, what is Doge doing this morning? Let's get into the charts here. And let's go to Doge right away, because I think that's really the news of the day on Doge. So Doge is exploding. And I think we have an opportunity here for a jump into Dogecoin right now. I think I'm buying more today right now. I bought a lot of Dogecoin down here in the 32 range. I'm laddering in Dogecoin right now, and I'm extremely bullish on it based on this Coinbase Pro announcement. So again, Dogecoin to me is a really good buy at this point. You could wait for a little bit of a retest here and see if it drops down a little bit into this 40 cent range again. But I think there are enough price targets that I'm seeing for this to be heading up to the 70 and perhaps all-time high levels now on its way to a dollar. But I think you're seeing, first of all, let's go to Bitcoin dominance, because what's happening and why we need to understand what's happening with all these altcoins right now is this is the Bitcoin dominance chart. So let me make this, let's embiggen this chart so you can even see it bigger here. So what we're seeing here with Bitcoin dominance is it's declining. Bitcoin dominance is going down, down, and down from its all-time high. And what that means when Bitcoin dominance drops from 43 to 41, 42, and it continues this downward pattern, even if Bitcoin has some, moves up to $40,000, that's still great. Because what that means is these altcoins are going to pump even higher. So when Bitcoin dominance declines, where does this money go? Like, that's the real question. When Bitcoin dominance declines, where does money go? Is it going into AMC? Maybe some of this money is moving out of Bitcoin and into some of these meme stocks right now, perhaps. I mean, we're seeing some of the numbers this morning with some of these meme stocks, AMC. And the reason I say, is it a meme stock? Well, you have Redditors and other people driving these stocks. and they still are sitting on billions of dollars in debt. So if that's, like, where is the value in AMC? Is it simply that people are driving this through tweets and through Reddit forums? Perhaps. I mean, look what happened with GameStop. Can they really confront a digital environment and move forward? Well, what is AMC doing? Like, why is AMC any different? Here is, and I'll just say, AMC's CEO has grown his wealth tremendously as a result of this. And this morning, he tweeted out a new program that AMC is doing. Adam Aaron says, today, AMC and I launch an innovative effort to communicate with the AMC shareholders. AMC Investors Connect gets you AMC Stubs benefits and special shareholder rewards for those who patronize AMC theaters in the United States. Sign up is completely free at AMC Theaters/stockholders. So you get to be a stockholder and you get free popcorn as a result of that. So that's our way of saying thanks. By the way, this CEO has now just made bank thanks to all of this memery around AMC. Here's how much the CEO is now making.
Meantime, as shares of AMC rise amid the retail trading boom, the company's CEO seeing his wealth grow. Robert Frank joins us with more on that. Robert.
Good morning, Andrew. Adam Aaron praising his new AMC army of retail investors on Twitter yesterday, saying he is going to, quote, grow your company. That army also has helped grow his fortune. Aaron has about 4.2 million shares either owned or granted. Those shares are worth about $8 million at the start of this year. They are now worth more than $130 million as of last night's close. So his total gains during what we could call his Reddit rally now total $120 million, those shares up over 1,400% this year. Aaron hasn't sold any shares. In March, he did give shares now valued at over $15 million to his two sons. But other executives of the company have been selling, cashing out of almost $4 million in shares since March. The top seller, according to SEC filings, is their chief content officer. She sold more than $1 million of shares back in March. The general counsel selling just under $1 million in March, and the CFO cashing out more than $400,000 worth back in April.
I mean, that tells you a lot, right? So almost the entire executive staff of the company is like, I'm selling. I'm taking these profits. I'm running, you know, because what is AMC going to do? I mean, are people really coming back to the theater in a big, big way? Is this, are movie theaters, do they have the power that they once had? I mean, here's AMC's stock today trading at 38, up nicely, about, you know, 6%. Here as the market opens. You know, the pre-market, it was up about 22%. Again, I don't know. I mean, we saw people returning to the theater this weekend. When's the last time, Philip, you've been to a movie in a theater?
Oh, man. I think the last movie I saw in a theater was Thor Ragnarok. So
holy smokes.
I did see the so it would have been Endgame.
Oh, okay.
The last movie I saw in the theater.
Well, like this weekend, A Quiet Place, the sequel, you know, people went out, saw it this weekend. I think they, what did they do, about 97 million in box office for A Quiet Place, which I don't even know what that movie is. Did you ever see like the first one? I guess it's like everyone's quiet because there's like a monster or something.
There's aliens that that react to sound and like hunt people. I mean, not the most brilliant movie I've ever seen, but it was well done. I liked it. I mean, there are definitely like holes in the plot, but I mean, when is there not? It's a story. It's not life. Yeah. It's funny though, because like so I'm on Reddit like most of my waking life. You know, if I'm not working or doing something, I'm on Reddit, and I've been following the Wall Street Bets, I think it was like December when they started getting into the GameStop and the AMC.
Right.
And just if I was that CEO and all of this press started coming out that I was selling that stock off, I would be absolutely terrified of Reddit right now, because like that's not Reddit doesn't really work as a group, but it definitely works as a group. And so like just that selling off is kind of frightening. I haven't been on today, but I'll check it out.
I want to see what their response is to his tweets about wanting to help the company. He says, I'm going to help your company. Like what he's basically saying is, hey, all of you guys on Reddit who made us what we are right now, I've made a lot of money. I'm really going to build this company. I'm going to build AMC. That's the goal, right? And so the first thing that he announces as part of this new initiative is like this free popcorn thing, you know? And AMC Stubs benefits. How's Reddit going to respond to that?
Well, the whole point of the GameStop and the AMC was to stick it to hedge funds that were shorting those companies. Mm-hmm. That's why Redditors are buying the stock and holding it. They will not sell it. And so the idea was not, I mean, yeah, it was like as an added benefit, they were like, hey, look, because GameStop like actually is doing much better now that happened, and AMC as well. But you got to be careful with that, because what is helping you out can also turn around and bite you just as fast, because that, you know, the idea, the whole point of it was to stick it to these people that were just like shorting the hell out of these companies.
Right. And well, the big question on Twitter, like if we go to Twitter and you can see the responses, because so yes, that hedge fund thing is the issue. But of course, what they ended up doing was they also sold 8 million shares to a hedge fund that flipped it right around and actually sold it. Like, so these exact hedge funds that we're decrying are the ones you just sold 8 million shares to. I mean, here's what Twitter has to say about that. Like, what are your thoughts on the hedge fund you sold the 8 million shares to, calling AMC share price as overpriced? Is that a backhanded compliment that the mainstream media has had a field day with? This did reflect badly in your decision to choose that particular hedge fund that you sold 8 million shares to. Yeah.
Yeah, I would kind of be like slightly terrified if I was that CEO in that position, because like I said, that army that's behind you that seems to be supporting you, if they turn on you, it's, you know, there's nowhere to go, because all they'd have to do, basically all they'd have to do is if everybody just dumped their AMC shares, then what, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, from 2002 to 2019, the U.S. saw a drop of nearly 350 million movie tickets sold nationwide, including a fall of 83 million from 2018 to 2019. Cinema stock? No thanks. I mean, I don't know when the last time I've been to the movies. Natalie and I Natalie and I went to go see Christopher Nolan's movie Tenet. We were the only people in the IMAX theater. This was whenever Christopher Nolan's movie Tenet was out. That's it. And, you know, they're hoping, okay, A Quiet Place Part 2 and this Cruella movie, there's a lot of hope about this, you know, this Cruella De Vil movie. That's about it right now. But the thing is, you can watch these directly on your Apple TV or your Roku box right now through like Disney Plus. And I think you pay, what is it, $19 or something like that, or $29. But when you add up all the popcorn and taking all the kids and getting the gas and driving there, like you're saving money by just making popcorn at home and then having your nice television, your nice 4K television, and watching these things. So I don't know. Buying cinema stock right now seems, unless they can come up with some innovative way to get me to the theater again, like smell-o-vision or something, you know, like they tried in the 1960s, like they're going to blow smells into the theater. So get you away from the television and go into the theater. I don't know.
See, there are a few theaters I like to go to. There are a couple of them in Portland that are like a little bit more classic. What I don't like about the major theaters is it's like going to Vegas. It's just chintzy, it's loud, it's bright, there's just too much. It's like overstimulating. So I like the more just like kind of classic, like, you know, I'll watch the movie like after it's been out for a while in the cheaper theaters, because the cheaper theaters I can get a pizza and a beer and you know, just sit there and kind of enjoy it in silence. I don't know.
I like those like retro theaters too, you know, where they have the old classic look and you can go and see, they'll play like Ghostbusters, or they'll play stuff in the 80s and the 60s and the 70s, and you get to see, you know, experience it that. So I don't know. I'd be curious to hear from our viewers in the chat. Like, let me know your thoughts on this. What did I hit there?
Nope. Yeah, I was like, are we done?
I hit a button on my stream, on my ATEM Mini, and I don't know what I did.
It looked like you hit the fade FTP to black button.
Oh, is that what that was? Fade to black? I was like, what is the FTP button? What does this button do?
Yep, fade to black. Cool. What's weird about that is, though, it didn't cut off your audio, and usually a fade to black button cuts off audio also.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, because that would, you kind of want that out of your fade to black button, because if you fade to black and then, you know, like sometimes the next thing you say after you're done going live isn't public friendly.
So AMC stock sitting there, $38 right now. Well, 37. It was just up to 39. Almost such an... Look how volatile this thing is right now. I mean, no thanks. No thanks. I don't know. Hey, play the dips on this one, folks. But it's going straight up. This has been like a parabolic move. So look, if you're interested in AMC, look for a retest moment on this. Let me know in the super chats if I have any questions I can help answer for you today. Any charts, any questions on these different coins? But that's what I am buying.
We definitely have some super chats that have come in. Going back to the beginning, Mitch Egger, check out Celsius Network too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yep. And then let's see, Lady B. So there's two of them kind of in a row, Lady B and then Zenith Star 20. So Lady B was, sorry, I'm a total newbie, but where do you suggest you buy these coins, Doge, et cetera, safely? And then Zenith Star kind of along the same lines. Clayton, what crypto do you suggest investing in right now to build wealth? How much should I put in and how often?
I think start small till you understand and learn how to trade and, you know, watch this show every day. I'm going to show you different picks that I'm making. I'm going to teach you different technical analysis so you can be empowered to take control of your finances. You know, what I try to teach people is, look, I'm a real estate investor at heart. And to me, it's a store of value. What can I do to hold my family's wealth and produce cash flow every month that's a hedge against inflation and protects me against this crazy dollar and the printing of money that we don't have any control over? And then how can I make small short-term profits, not small profits, but large profits, like life-changing money in crypto, which you absolutely can if you do it correctly. And you make sure you have your stop losses set and you understand basic patterns. So what I'm trying to do here on the show is bring a level of education and showing you some of these basic patterns. And I'm going to be putting out a whole video tutorial on Bybit, how to walk through a trade, how to set stop losses, all of that. It's going to be hopefully, you know, I'm writing it. I'm still working on it. I'm going to work on it right after we get done here today. It's going to probably be about a 40-minute video or so as we go through all of the different things on how to trade this market. Hopefully you'll find it helpful. But again, we have links in the show description for you to sign up and get $600, $1,600 in free money from Bybit when you sign up and make your deposits. And then also use a VPN. You need to use a VPN in order to gain access to, you know, you just need a virtual private network, you know, in order to be able to try these, some of these different platforms. Don't be scared about, you know, about this. Let me show you ExpressVPN, right? So it's very simple. We have the link below. If you go to morninginvest.com/VPN, you'll actually get a great discount if you use our link. I actually negotiated with Kevin from their team. I said, you know, we're gonna have a lot of people that are gonna wanna try this. You get a 30-day money back guarantee. And so they've been kind enough to set us up and help our viewers. So if you go to morninginvest.com/VPN, what you do is, what is a VPN? Well, you can browse the internet privately, securely. You get access to one-click safe internet. You can use ExpressVPN on every device you own, iPhone, iPad, computer, laptop, whatever it is, Android phone, Linux, you know, anything. You get strong data protection. You have internet without borders, so it doesn't matter what country you're in. And then what you do is you turn on your, let me do ExpressVPN. Let me turn it on here. And I just, oh, I want to go to this area here. I want to go to United Kingdom. And I click on, boom, now I'm connected. I'm connected to the United Kingdom right there. See that? And that's how it works. Super simple. And then once I'm connected to my VPN in whatever server around the world, then I go to Bybit. And then I set up my Bybit account, or I go to KuCoin, or I go to Binance, because they just do not operate in the United States. And you get access to all of these additional alternative coins that you just don't get by using Coinbase. Don't use Coinbase. Coinbase is expensive. The fees are too high. It's a great exchange. It's kind of like the biggest. And it's very difficult to get your coins listed on Coinbase. That's why this is a big deal about having Dogecoin listed on Coinbase. But it's very difficult. It's very expensive to use Coinbase. I only use Coinbase to put money into the market. And again, I'm going to explain all of this in my video tutorial. So I'm just kind of giving you some high-level stuff right here. All right, more super chats.
Yeah, more super chats. We got, let's see, where was that? Scroll down. Okay. Ruben Montoya, getting political here. So I heard Trump announced his return to the presidency on August. This is getting out of control. That was a $5 super chat.
Yeah, President Trump thinks that he will be reinstated as president of the United States in August of this year. Yeah. Okay. How's that going to happen? You're going to be reinstated? Like, where in the Constitution does that happen? Also, Sidney Powell is coming out. You know, remember Sidney Powell, the Kraken, the nut job Kraken? But yeah, she says that he's going to be reinstated. Trump expects to be reinstated by August. Because the, yeah. Apparently he says that there's going to be a coup attempt from his supporters. Okay.
Yeah. There's David messaging me, sorry. So I had to refresh, so I lost most of the super chats. So I don't know if you have them up.
Let me see if I can find them here. By the way, this is what it looks like on my side for the chats flying by. This is why we use super chats, so I can actually see what's happening here. Okay, that's my data on my side.
I mean, you can't read that?
Yeah, I could try to read that. Hey, Clay, nobody's doing anything. I'm going to find about this stuff. Heat Looney says, I love Voyager to buy coins. You can earn a high, very high percentage of interest of coins and buy coins at the same time. It also is super user friendly. Voyager. Yeah, a lot of people like Voyager. Voyager is great as well. Thank you for that.
We had Brian Brumfield had, why are you not staking your ADA and earning passive income? ADA pays you passively for staking it. If you, you earn 5-6% annually in a good stake pool.
Yeah, I'm going to stake a percentage of it. I have other coins staked right now in Ethereum and so forth. So, you know, I earn passive income in different ways with real estate. That's my way of earning monthly cash flow and as a hit in that way. And because then that cash flow, I'm able to offset for tax purposes with the depreciation and other things. So for me, you know, passive income is great, but I want it in a tax vehicle. Like I might even use it in a self-directed IRA that can grow tax-free where I don't have to pay the taxes on the crypto once I cash it out. So there's some things to consider with the passive income. Like when are you going to use that money? Do you need access to it? How much of your portfolio do you want to be staked at any given time? A percentage of your portfolio would be great to have it staked. You could absolutely do that. I have a percentage of mine staked right now in some other coins.
Let's see, Your Imperial Majesty, when do you report to IRS about invest income?
Well, I would talk with your tax accountant about that because it depends on if you file quarterly as a business, you know, when do you file? Once a year, quarterly? So talk to your tax advisor about that. We've got a great team that we work with at Wealthability. So if you go to our website at Morris Invest, I forgot to mention something. Holy smokes, I can't believe I forgot to mention this. Okay. It should be in the console there, Philip, if you could hit it. Today, if you're interested in real estate investing, we've been working on this for a year. And today at noon Eastern, we are doing a live webinar that I'm super excited about. If you go to morrisinvest.com/webinar, we only have a few spots left because the software only allows us a certain number of people to do the webinar. But we're going to be teaching you how to become financially free through real estate investing. We're going to show you all of the different ways that I use in order to buy real estate. Look, I don't want you just buying crypto, and that's the way you're going to pay high taxes on it. That's short-term capital gains. That is not a way to build long-term wealth. What I want you to do is think about using these smaller short-term gains and turning them into long-term buy and holds. That's truly the way to build wealth. So register for our free webinar. I will be there live answering your questions. I'm going to go through every step of the way on how to invest in real estate. So just go to Morris Invest. It's Morris Invest. That's our company for real estate investing. MorrisInvest.com/webinar. Click the register now button and see if there's any spots available. Okay. I don't know. I'd have to go through the sign-up process to see how many spots are left. But let me know in the chat if you guys have signed up. I look forward to seeing you guys at noon Eastern. To talk about real estate investing, and I'll be there answering your questions live. You're going to know how to start creating a steady supply of monthly cash flow from real estate. To me, it's the ultimate tax haven is real estate investing. Once you do it correctly and we show you how, there's nothing better than it. So turning this crypto profits into long-term store of value as a hedge against inflation and a tax haven, nothing like it. So
it's good you saw that, because I saw that in the lower thirds when I was getting on this morning. I was like, oh, that's new. And then I just didn't think about it again. Like, I didn't know. I forgot to ask.
I had a crazy morning and I had so much going on and getting our newsletter out. And I just like my team would have killed me, by the way, if I didn't mention that. We've been working so hard on this. So it's going to be a great time. Just spend your lunchtime with us for about an hour on the webinar. And we'll answer your questions live. So awesome. And Westmoreland says, I will see you at 12. Awesome.
Awesome.
Kate, if you don't make it today, I think we might do another one. So we'll announce that. And we might have a replay that we'll be able to put up there. But obviously it won't be live then. But we'd love to have you on there, Kate.
So Kale, with a $2 super chat, what are your thoughts on Shiba Inu?
You know,
I'm guessing it means the coin, not the dog.
Yeah. You know, these meme coins, I think there's so much other smarter money to be made in crypto with some of these other plays like I taught you about today, you know, whether it's Ethereum, Doge, even Doge, which, you know, yes, is a meme coin in many ways, but has now grown substantially with enough institutional support that makes me bullish on it. I don't see enough institutional support, big name support for Shiba Inu. And like, what is the real value? You know, that's the real question I have. When I am investing in Cardano, I know what the value of Cardano is. You know, I know what they're bringing to the table. I also know what the value of Polkadex is. You know, I'm excited about Polkadex. I know what the value of these, I know what the value of Internet Computer is, ICP. So, you know, I'll do a little charting of Shiba. See what we got here. This looks like a nice, right now we got a nice cup and handle pattern forming here on Shiba. So to me, you know, I will say a cup and handle pattern is one of the best patterns that you could want for if you're a bull. So we could chart it this way. We could chart it from here to here. We could even do underneath the wick if we wanted to. But look at this pattern right here. And then this cup, that's the cup. Here's the handle. So what I would do is I'd want to make sure we have a confirmed breakout of this to the upside, because this could turn parabolic. So that's what I think of Shiba. Again, it's all about patterns, you know? If I'm going to get into this coin, if I was going to get into Shiba today, here's what I would do. I would wait for confirmation of this. I would wait for confirmation of this, because I don't want to set, and I might set a stop loss here or here, depending on if this pattern, what happens with this pattern. So I might set a stop loss here or even a little bit lower down here. And then just, you know, I wouldn't put all my life savings into Shiba, but if I've got, you know, maybe 10% that you could play with, that's what I would do with Shiba, you know, maybe. And where does it go? Does it go to its previous high here and then bounce back and continue up? Or does it run up to its previous highs here? Or, you know, it's a new coin, so does it run up to its previous highs, you know? So there's a lot of potential there, but you just need to be careful. So chart, pay attention to the fundamentals and set alerts, set stop losses. There's a lot of money to be made, but I certainly wouldn't be putting, to me, Shiba is not like a long-term store of value. Like, I'm not saying to my kids, hey kids, your entire college future is banked on with Shiba Inu coins, you know? So that's my opinion of Shiba.
To me, that, like, so there's a lot of the, like I said before, like I'm kind of a Reddit junkie, but you see, I think what it is, a lot of these, somebody's like, oh, look, like Doge took off because of Reddit, or AMC took off because of Reddit. So they'll just like create these coins, throw them on Reddit and be like, let's go. And there's like so many shills. Cause I mean, we get a lot in our chat. I mean, I see it every day, just not in the chat, but in the comments, like these just shills of people that are just pushing these coins almost mindlessly. Like, I don't know if they're bot accounts or what, but, and it's just like, they're just trying to push. It's like artificially inflated value.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There's no scarcity.
Yeah. You know, it's, We had that Bittrex issue like a while ago. Of course, you had, you know, scams. And so people get involved in these things and they pump it. And then, you know, there's no real value with these things. That's why I think, you know, you got to go over to like CoinMarketCap and see, you know, what is there real volume? Like, what is the real volume with these coins? Like, what's happening here? Like, look at Doge. Look at their market cap. 50 billion. Okay. Well, if I go down to these like really tiny little dinky dinks, you know, I'm going to go to page 55. Okay. Like, I don't know what these things are, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, what was it like 2-3 weeks ago? Everybody was safe moon, safe moon, safe moon. Where's that at? You know, mm-hmm. Like it's like the idea of the meme coin really is just kind of a meme coin, but not all of them stick around like memes do.
Yeah. So you just got to do your research on these. I mean, they pop up all the time, like Polydoge. Like, what? Okay, what's Polydoge? Where's the volume? Like, where can you even trade these coins? Like, are they even available on? You have to dig for an exchange to find some of this stuff. Look, you can make a lot of money on these things, and especially if you're into that world where you're going to start digging for these really small cap coins. But you know, like I was always advised, do you not put all your eggs in that basket on small caps? It's just like the thing with penny stocks. You know, yes, Timothy Sykes, a friend of mine, you can make a lot of money with penny stocks, right? But it's a whole other world, and you've really got to be invested into that world of trying to find these really tiny, small micro market cap stocks and trades and try to make it in that space. Or you can just, you know, learn the fundamentals and learn what's happening in a broader way and make some really great money that way too.
So we got Steve Walker was asking, how do you stake a coin and what do you mean as staking?
Well, there are a lot of like point of sale coins available on the market. So you can, staking a coin basically creates a US dollar stability in many ways. So for instance, you know, when you put money into like GUSD, which is Gemini on the on BlockFi network, for instance, and you take $100 of US dollars and you put it into BlockFi, you buying GUSD, you're basically staking your money in that coin. And it's a very stable dollar one-for-one coin, you know, but you're getting a huge interest rate because it's now on the blockchain and you're being able to give them leverage and buying power in the network, in the blockchain. You can download a wallet anywhere. A software wallet is essential for this. To the staking process where you're going to store the money that you're using for staking. You want to determine like what the minimum requirements are for staking, whether it's on Coinbase or whether it's on BlockFi or Binance, if you want to, whatever coin you're going to end up using for staking, and then decide what hardware to use. And then from there, you just start staking. It's not difficult. It's really not difficult. And then that basically means you can't trade that coin for a while, right? It's like putting it in a bank. What were those like CODs back in the day, or like you could take like a 1-year COD at the bank or something. You put like,
yeah,
money,
like the certificate of deposit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of, I mean, I know that's kind of a generic way of doing it, but simply put, it's just, you're locking cryptocurrencies basically into a system that you're able to receive rewards for kind of lending your money to the blockchain in a way. And in most cases, you're going to be able to stake your coins directly from your crypto wallet. So you should be able to do that directly right from whatever wallet you're using. If you're using Nebula or any of those, you can use Trust Wallet, which is one. You can do that right in Binance with Trust Wallet. So there's a couple of different things. Once you go down that little staking rabbit hole, you'll have it figured out in like an hour or less than that, like 10 minutes. It's not that difficult.
And then Jake Reynolds at $2 Super Chat, he said there's like a quintillion SHIB. With no go.
Yeah, yeah.
And exactly. Lady B's from London, and she signed up for the webinar.
Awesome.
And then we just had some other general super chats. We got 29 rubles from Jim Marr. So you got some rubles in your wallet now.
All right. Thanks for that. My first rubles.
And then Everton Azul had a 99-cent super chat, but the message was retracted, so we may never know what Everton Azul had to say.
Kate T says, someone just paid 99 cents for a super chat. I can't go that low. Yeah, that's okay. Hey, when you're supporting our show, you're supporting independent journalism. You're supporting our network to help you become more empowered financially. So that's what you're doing here. You're helping us outside of the mainstream media. You know, we are not this. You know, we are not a billionaire news network run by a few billionaires who are driving a narrative. We are independent, and we are, our goal is to empower you financially. So when you support our show, that's what you're doing. I don't care if it's a, if you just subscribe to the channel, that's a huge way to support us. If you haven't already subscribed, we do our show live every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time, where we cover the financial news that matters to you and your family. We bring you the charts. We bring you the data on the things that I'm currently buying and trading to help you, you know, build financial wealth in your family. That's my goal. So be sure to join us today at noon Eastern time on our live webinar. So again, here's the website. We'll put it up on the screen. We're going to be doing a live real estate webinar. Just go to morrisinvest.com/webinar. Morris, my last name, M-O-R-R-I-S, invest.com/webinar. Again, we only have a few slots left because the software limits how many people we can use. And we're going to be walking through how to become financially free through real estate investing. By the end of this webinar, you're going to have a very deep knowledge of it from top to bottom. And I'm going to be there live answering questions. So I'm excited to have you guys join us for our live real estate training webinar, where we put a lot of work into it. So I can't wait to see you guys at noon. SAS Crypto, I enjoy the show in the morning. Thank you so much. Thank you to everyone who joined us this morning. Love you guys. Thank you guys for signing up and being here every day with us and trying to improve your financial future. That's our goal, is to help you with this free education. So thanks to Philip for filling in today while David's dealing with doggy issues.
Always glad to do it.
Grover, thanks you all for watching. We've got our new Grover. By the way, if any of you won some of our Grover mugs from your referrals through our newsletter, We have the new designs of the mugs, so that's why we've been a little slow to get those out to you. I wanted you guys to have the new designs. If you go to morninginvest.com/store, you can see the current mugs and color designs, but we have some new stuff coming. We're very excited about it. So get ready for that. But those new mug designs will be coming to your house for those of you that have been referred a number of people from signing up for our newsletter. Because I think on our newsletter, I think it's... Do you know off the top of your head, Philip? I don't even know. It's when people go to read our daily newsletter every morning, there's a, at the bottom of the email, like once you sign up, you get the newsletter in your inbox every day, Monday through Friday. It's free. You can read it in about 5 minutes. At the bottom of your newsletter, there's a rewards link that's just for you, whoever you are reading and watching right now. You all have your own rewards link. And when you send it to friends and they sign up, like your mom, your sister, your brother, whatever, and they sign up for the newsletter, you can see in your rewards dashboard, I think you have to refer 10 friends, and then we will send you a free Grover mug and we'll send you the new designs. Yeah.
Yeah. I it's definitely at the bottom of the newsletter. I'm looking at okay. it right now.
So yeah, we'll send you one of our Grover Come On Man mugs, or otherwise. And then, got some great stuff on there, like our hoodies and sweatshirts as well. So, got some good stuff coming.
I need to get one of the Don't Be a D mugs, because that was my, what we call rule number one in my house is that's just rule number one. Don't be a D. And it's been that way since my daughter was, you know, like, well, since she was born. So she just knows rule number one. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, we have the Don't Be a D face masks and the Don't Be a D mug. So that is our only rule in our house. Like, just don't be a dick. I mean, that's all it is. Don't be a D. Like when you're driving and like there's a whole line of traffic in front of you and no one's moving and that one person is trying to merge and you're like pretending like you don't see them there. Don't be a D. You know, like it's that little stuff, right? Or it's the, like when my son is just continuing to put something near my daughter's ear, just getting it close. And she's like, Miles, stop it. He just keeps doing it. You know, like, just don't be a D. Just stop it. You know,
it literally covers everything, like right. all, like if just everybody followed that, there would be no problems.
Right, it's the one rule.
It's the golden rule, just simplified.
Exactly. So thanks everyone. Remember, don't be a D. Be good to one another. We'll see you at noon Eastern on our live webinar. So again, if you haven't registered yet, go do it. morrisinvest.com/webinar. And we'll see you at noon Eastern, everybody. Have a great rest of your day and be safe. Trade smart. We'll see you later.